Thank you. Good morning also from our side to our conference call on the first 6 months of 2012. The second quarter was rather calm, so not much unspectacular things happened. Though there were no highlights, we start with the retail turnover, which shows that the second quarter was rather weak. Cumulative, we are now at a turnover plus of 0.3%. After 2% in the first quarter, there is certainly some influence on the Easter trade, but all in all, from what we hear from the market, is that the second quarter was weak, particularly on the fashion textile side. Overall, the turnover in our German portfolio increased by 7.1%, comparable, it's only plus 0.3%. Outside Germany, we achieved a plus of 3.7%, so that the overall portfolio turnover of the tenants increased by 6.5%. What we optimized further is the loan structure. We were able to further renegotiate or fix two other loans premature, so that we are now down from 4.59% by the end of 2011 to 4.32% on the overall loan portfolio, with a weighted maturity of 6.8 years, so down 27 basis points. That is due to two new loans we just fixed. On the next slide, all in all, 104.3 million euro. That refers to the second part of the Dresden refinancing of 37.5 million and a new fixed loan for the Kassel property in the amount of 66.8 million. We fixed 10 years interest at 2.95, whereas Dresden was at 3.14. So on average, the new interest rate on this part of the loan portfolio is now 3.02% compared to 5.83%. So interest saving of 2.8%. In addition to that, we draw debt for refinancing the Magdeburg acquisition of last year, a 60 million loan, which was paid out by the end of June at a rate of 2.99% for 10 years. If we then come to the key figures, on the top line figures, we will come back in a second. I want to point out the FFO, which we achieved a 90 cent FFO per share in the first 6 months compared to 74 cents in the first half of 2011. That's a plus of 22%. And the same is true for the EPRA earnings per share, that moved up also by 22% to 66 cents in the first 6 months. The equity ratio lowered slightly to 44.2% compared to 45.7% by the end of 2011, which is mainly due to the payout of the dividend, and the LTV ratio in turn increased slightly by 1 percentage point to 48% now. The balance sheet has changed only slightly, moved up by 18.8 million. The non-current assets moved up by 4.3 million euro. That are the final works at the three extension properties, as well as the running capex into the properties, 4.3 million. The current assets moved up by almost 14.5 million euro. That is only due to a higher cash position within the group. The equity moved down by 29 million due to the dividend. The non-controlling interest of the minorities moved down by 9.4 million. That is, as it was the case in the first quarter, due to the acquisition of the minority shares in Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum, Allee-Center Hamm, and Rathaus-Center Dessau. So that all in all, the equity moved down by 38.5 million euro. In turn, bank debt moved up by 43 $6.3 million deferred tax liabilities mainly from the operating business, plus €10 million other liabilities, plus €4 million. Profit and loss account, revenues increased by 15% to €104.5 million. Property and operating costs were at €10.9 million, up from last year's figure. Relatively, the operating and management costs moved down from 10.5% to 10.4% of revenues, so that net operating income increased also by 15% to €93.6 million. Other operating income was fairly unchanged for the first quarter, €0.8 million, out of which €0.6 million is a currency gain. The corporate cost were slightly lower than in the first 6 months, which is only due to lower financing fees in connection with the refinancings we have done. So EBIT was up by 16% to €91.2 million. As expected, net interest expense decreased to minus €32.6 million. The profit attributable to the limited partners, our minorities, moved down to €9.5 million. So overall, net finance costs went down by €3.4 million to €42.1 million. Measurement gains and losses minus €1.9 million, out of which €0.3 million were IFRS 3 results from taking over the minorities, and €1.6 million refers to investment cost. So EBT in the first 6 months amounted to €47.2 million, up 22% compared to the previous year. Taxes, or the tax rate, was slightly above last year's level, €14.6 million, so that the consolidated profit moved up by 20% to €32.6 million. Let's come to the revenue bridge now. The effect of the extensions in Dresden, Main-Taunus-Zentrum, and A10, as well as the acquisition in Magdeburg, amounted to additional revenues of €11.8 million, so that the like-for-like rental increase amounted to €1.6 million, or 2.2% compared to 0.9% in the first quarter, to €104.5 million revenues in the first 6 months. The net finance cost, interest expense increased by €1.3 million. If you take into consideration that we have got €153 million more bank debt on our balance compared to the June 2011, and if you take 4.3% on that, you come up that the interest expense should have increased by €3.3 million. In fact, €1.3 million was only the increase in the interest expense, and that shows there the interest savings due to the refinancings of last year. The minority profit share increased by €2 million, and that is only due to the Main-Taunus-Zentrum, which in itself increased by €2.2 million. So that is that overcompensates the decrease due to the lower minorities in Rhein-Neckar-Hamm and Dessau as well. So overall, net finance costs moved down to €42.1 million. EBT bridge. The valuation results, if you deduct that by €1.1 million as a delta between 2011 and 2012, the operating result increased by €9.5 million, or 24%, all in all, €47.2 million up per EBT in the first 6 months. And finally, the profit bridge. valuation results minus 0.7 million compared to the first 6 months of 2011. Operating profit after taxes up 22% or 6.1 million to 32.6 million. After these 6 months, you can say all in all the results are on the upper side of our guidance, which we already increased in May. From today's perspective, there is a good chance that we will further increase slightly our forecast after the third quarter, particular as far as EBT and FFO is concerned. For the time being, we stick to our forecast where we expect revenues somewhere around 270 to 211 million euro and EBIT of 177 to 181 million euro. And EBT without valuation between 94 and 97 million and an FFO per share somewhere 170 to 174. That's in short the view on the first 6 months, which were so far rather unspectacular, and I'm happy now to answer your questions. Thank you.
The first question is from Peter Papadakos from Green Street Advisors. May we have your question, please?
Good morning, Mr. Berger. I have a few questions, please. Can I just start with the like-for-like methodology that you use? I was just wondering, do you use a same-store type like-for-like definition or a same-center definition for your like-for-like?
We use the same center definition for the like-for-like.
Okay, thank you. And then in terms of the, I see sort of the top five categories for the retail turnover, they comprise almost 80% of the sales of your tenants, and they're all negative in the first half. And is it just generally the trend that you're seeing, as you said, just after Easter, where there's weakness, has that flowed over into July from what you see, or August, if you have any anecdotal evidence of August?
Sorry, Peter, I must correct myself. I was a little confused. I thought you were talking about like-for-like turnover revenue, rental income. If we talk about turnover of the retailers, we are talking about same store, like for like.
Right, okay.
And that is part of the answer to your question here, because if you take MTZ, Dresden, and A10, mm-hmm. you take only the stores that were 12 months in operation, or 6 months in operation the year before. So all the stores of the extension, they were removed from that like-for-like development. That's why we always give the second number, which is the absolute turnover development, because there are certainly shifts between stores that already existed to new stores.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And that's why these figures, the like-for-like figures we showed on slide two, are only half of the truth, I would say.
Yeah. So on a same-center basis, the reality is somewhere between the first group of numbers and the second group of numbers.
Right. There's a mix in all the new stores, or all stores that were not in operation for 6 months in 2011. Are removed from these figures.
Okay.
So if there's a shift between, and there's always a shift, there, the numbers look worse than they are.
Yep. Okay. And then just moving on to some comments you made in the press release regarding pricing. So, could you give us any sense of how much are you being outbid by in the assets that you're looking for? What is your own hurdle IRR on an unlevered asset basis? And if you don't see any acquisition opportunities, would you maybe be willing either to go up the risk curve or launch some new developments or some extensions within your existing portfolio? could you give us some sense of where pricing is?
It's like it's an answer like rather airy, Vaughn, if you know what that is. what we realized in the recent month is that the market or the market participants have very different views on how an NOI is defined.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about yields, we always talk about NOI yields. We are obviously the ones that have the lowest NOI in these auction processes. I mean, in my view, they take out costs which really come on the table, but they are excluded in any auction process because you always get an info memo from real estate broker, and they optimize the NOI, and everybody gives his price on that NOI, and that always is higher than the NOI we really use for that. So if we take if we only talk about prices, we are beaten, or we are at least 5% below the price expectation and the best price that is obviously paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still in the range somewhere between the properties we looked at in the recent month. They were all somewhere between 5.5% and 6%, but on the level, on an optimized NOI level.
In right.
In calculation, we came below 5.5%. It came out that we are below 5.5%.
Right.
There's a huge demand from mainly non-listed vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Is that the optimized NOI that you talk about? Is that because you incorporate some sort of a structural capex reserve that you feel is appropriate, and obviously the brokers that send you those memos they don't include that, or is there something?
Well, it's capex. I mean, if you look at a property that is 40 years old and you see that the maintenance is at 30,000 euro per annum,
yep.
That's not realistic.
Yep, I see.
That is not realistic, but they all calculate with this unrealistic number. Or they take out write-offs of rent, of rental income, which also takes place. It is not
right.
Included in any NOI anymore. So what we see is that the offers we have on our table, they operate with NOI levels of 95-96% of rental income. Whereas,
mm.
you know, from what we show, we are somewhere at 90%.
Yeah.
So that is a huge difference in pricing.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
And reality is closer to 90% than to 95%.
yeah, of course. Okay, and then just my one final question, you may answer it however you wish. Is your strategy any different on a look-forward basis, given Unibail's entry to Germany, or it doesn't really affect you at all?
Well, we think that is an interesting move, and let's see how that works out.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Berger.
More luck than others have so far.
Great. Thank you.
And the next question is from André Remke from Baader Bank.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Berger. Simply two questions. You showed a like-for-like rent increase of 2.2% in the first quarter. You mentioned 0.9%. Are there any special reason or center responsible for the jump in the second quarter? And what is your expectation for the year as a whole? Then the second question, follow up on the potential acquisition pipeline or opportunities. When it comes to the open-end funds, did you already contact any potential seller, if there is anything in their portfolio, or is it more unlikely that this could be a source of acquisitions?
So as far as the like-for-like is concerned, I mentioned, you may remember that in the first quarter, we always have an influence on the final turnover rent invoice for the prior year. So that is one reason. why that has improved over 6 months, that there's a better mix, but there is no separate shopping center or specific shopping center that moved much better than in the first quarter. But in fact, in the second quarter, we were able to include already A10 and Dresden in their revenue development, because second quarter is already comparable, so we only exclude the first quarter when taking that. So those are three things that had influence on that development. 2.2% is above our expectation, of course, but that might go down in the second half, because we only expect 1.8% for the whole year on a like-for-like basis.
And this is included in your guidance, the 1.8%?
That is included in our guidance, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
And as far as acquisition pipeline is concerned, in particular the open-end funds, so far, these, if they sell properties, open-ended funds, they can only sell at the appraised value in their books. And if that is too high, they can't sell. So it's quite difficult to say, yes, that is an acquisition pipeline, because first of all, I think some of them need to reduce the value in their books before they can start to sell that. And if they start with it, they certainly will do it through an auction, not off-market deal.
Mm. But is it also true for the funds in liquidation, that they only can sell at appraisal value?
So far, from what I know, yes.
Okay.
Firstly, they just need to revalue the properties.
Mm. Okay.
So what they have sold was always something where they had slight hidden reserves, or they sold at their appraised value, but not below. They are not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm. But you did not directly contact them, as most of the portfolios are in their reports.
There are not too many properties left that are of interest to us, and those are overpriced.
Okay.
In the books.
That's clear. Thank you very much.
And the next question is from Thomas van der Meij from Kempen. May we have your question, please?
Good morning. Actually, two questions from my side. Maybe can we first start with the tax cases and your potential solutions you are still implementing? Do you have an update on that? And what's your timeline you expect the first outcomes?
Yeah, we now have a solution for that. We will discuss that with our board in September, and then would implement that until the end of the year.
Okay, and could you maybe give us already some sort of indication what the consequences are, or what the savings will be?
Well, there will be savings, but no details on that, please, Thomas, for the time being. Let's discuss that first with the board until we publish any things on that. But it will result in major dissolution of the deferred trade taxes.
Okay, that's clear. And then on the guidance, I mean, you already indicated that there's a good chance that you will increase the 2012 numbers for FFO and EBT. Will that also impact your 2013 guidance?
Yes.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Martin Kandenayden from Rabobank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. One question from my side. You actually indicated that you don't expect to do any acquisitions in the near future in Germany. Can we expect then maybe some acquisitions abroad? That's it.
No, I don't see that either. Oh, if you go to Poland, I mean, that's unbelievable what happens there.
Okay, so still no interesting opportunities in Poland or outside?
Interesting, yeah, but not price-wise interesting.
Okay. Okay, thanks, that's it.
And the next question is from Manuel Martin from CBS Research.
Good morning. One question on the shopping center environment. You said that for the time being no acquisition is planned. How do you perceive the market for shopping centers for the time being? Because there were news that the transaction volume is going down. Can you confirm that, and how could this affect your business?
Well, this transaction business doesn't affect our businesses at all in the first place. There are a number of transactions in the pipeline, so I expect in the second half that we will see more transactions than in the first half. And there is huge demand for that, but investors, they are much more prudent than they were in 2007 when they bought flew a helicopter and purchased and acquired properties. So they really get into detail. So these transactions always take much longer than years before. And that's why we haven't seen that much. I'm aware of a number of transactions, which we also had on our table, which are in the pipeline.
Okay, so maybe there will be a picking up in second half then.
Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you.
And the next question is from Burkhard Zawadzki from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Sorry, my questions have already been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. And the next question is from Kai Klose from Berenberg Bank.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Just a very quick one on Hungary. One of your competitors mentioned that the situation there seems to be improving. Could you elaborate a bit on that? How do you see the market? Thank you.
Well, improving would be too optimistic on that, but it's stabilizing, what we think. We see some new releasings there in Page, but on a lower lease level. In the first 6 months, we had 3.6% minus on a like-for-like basis, and that probably increases further because demand for space is not sufficient, and the turnover level, it has flattened. We have a slight plus in the first 6 months, which is good, but the reserves of the retailers are empty. So we expect no major improvement in Hungary in the coming month. I think that takes some years, but they really recover there.
Okay. And with the release of the full year results, you indicated that you might sell your participation in the Galleria Dominikanska.
Yeah.
Is this still true, or have you already progressed in that respect?
That is still true, and it's work in progress.
Okay. And so it's probably too early to elaborate on the potential closing.
No, well, closing should, if we sell, it will be closed up to the end of the year.
Okay. Many thanks.
And the next question comes from Stefan van Weren from Petercam.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Berger. One question from my side left. Perhaps I missed it, but with regard to possible extensions, do you see any opportunities there within your portfolio?
Yes, we are still investigating Gdansk and Harburg in Hamburg. There's still a slight chance for Wuppertal, but very little chance. The two others are look much better, but that is also work in progress.
And are these sizable extensions or just a relatively small addition?
Well, sizable. We are talking about 15 to 20% additional space.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by 1 on your telephone. We are waiting for further questions. And the next question is from Kirsten Brandy from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the presentation. Just two quick questions from me. I can see on slide 4 you've outlined your maturity profile. Would you consider or are you able to refinance any of this debt early to take advantage of the lower rates? Is that something you might consider doing?
Well, we've done already a lot, and what we still have to refinance or where we still just prolong that is the loan for Patch. Those are the 17.1 million shown on under the 2012 figure. There is no competition on the banking side as far as that loan is concerned. We will prolong it at a rather high interest rate, so that might increase our average interest rate a little. And then we start in renegotiating the whole financing of Main Taunus Zentrum. Well, most of it is shown under 2013. And perhaps we will finance it earlier than the interest agreements expire, and pay a fine to the banks in order to secure the current extremely, extremely nice interest environment. But then above that, there is nothing to do. There's nothing to refinance. As you can see from that slide, there's only in 2015 for the first time something to do.
Understood. And are you able to disclose your EPRA NAV?
Well, we can see that from the balance sheet. It shows me we don't have any revaluation. That's why we don't do that. And Patrick just writes the non-EPRA is 2681. That is just equity plus deferred taxes, but not adjusted by the derivatives, which increases that slightly. But we don't publish that quarterly because the major influence comes from variation on the NAV.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
And the next question is from Peter Lern from ING.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you also for the presentation. I just got one question with regards to your dividend outlook. You have pinpointed that to 110 for the year. You were talking earlier about upgrading potentially the guidance in the Q3. Would the dividend also be part of such a review? And then secondly, I mean, given the enormous uptick in FFO, wouldn't you want to expect maybe a higher payout?
That very much depends on the further development and also has to be seen in view of the evolution of the taxable part of the dividend for domestic shareholders, and what we said now for years is we will look at this very thoroughly, and if there is some, if part of the dividend is taxable, we then will increase the dividend, but not before. And that is latest the case in 2013, but could already be the case for 2012, the dividend that is paid out in 2013. If that takes place, that by the end of the year that we see that our 2012 dividend will partly be taxable for domestic shareholders, then we will look what we can do on the dividend side. But up to that, we won't increase the dividend because I know that shareholders, particularly the private clients, they forget what we, if we raise the dividend now, they come back that they say, well, you promised us to increase the dividend to compensate the tax disadvantage we have now. So that's why we keep the dividend on that level, although there is room for an increase in the dividend.
Okay, that's a very clear answer. Thank you.
And there are no further questions, Mr. Bürger.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a nice day and see you soon. Bye-bye.